the Canadian election. Now, it didn't help that Erin O'Toole has the personality of a piece of crap that you've just stepped on and you're trying to wipe it off your boot through either with the concrete or using the grass. Doesn't matter. Piece
okay,
of crap.
I have to intervene here. One other thing. If the election was really, really close until Erin O'Toole said some stuff about vaccines and getting 90%+ of the population vaccinated. And when the election was that close, that's literally all you needed to swing it to the Liberals at that point. Continue.
Thank you. Yes, case in point. So O'Toole overall was doing better. The guy previous to him, Andrew Scheer, was fully developed mammarian glands on a bull were more useful than the previous conservative leader. So as I understand things, that's my take on how this thing basically just got kiboshed. Now, quite likely I'm wrong on that somehow, but for me, that in a nutshell is really what's happened. So, did that answer your questions?
Well, more or less, yes. Yeah. Well, I think Nuroki's back, so he's going to we're going to switch to our next topic.
Has everyone had a chance to speak on this topic? I was I messaged you, Kelso, explaining why I had to step away. Let's just say I didn't want to have a personality clash on the show, so I asked him to step away. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, let's leave that alone. Kelso or Fake News Dave, I'm sorry. If anybody else has anything to say, I'll be happy to shut up.
I'm back.
Okay.
Just letting you know, I had to go refresh my beverage. But yes, I heard what you had stated, Nuroki, as I was re-approaching my bedroom from where I was. I did hear the reason that you left, and I figured that was the reason. Anyway, unless the topic changed while I was gone, I have nothing more to say on it.
Oh, no, it's the end. It's the end of this topic. I'm quite happy. Oh, because Project Veritas is probably going to be going to be another big topic. And, well, with that done, let's move on to topic number two, which is Project Veritas. And I kind of figured that if there was going to be a leak, if there was going to be a situation with what was going on with the vaccines and with what was going on, that if there was going, if it was going to leak anywhere, Project Veritas was going to be the ones that did it first. And not a surprise, there were three of them. The first one so far has been the one that is most damning. I'm kind of personally surprised, shocked, but not, again, right? Because, like, Rearson's response is, oh, is this a surprise to you? Again, right? Just because I say I'm surprised doesn't mean I'm surprised. They aren't doing any follow-up on anybody that's been vaccinated. The people in hospitals are, a lot of them apparently are aware that the vaccine is not particularly good. Okay, it was this one hospital, but I very much doubt that it was confined to just this one hospital. The second one was, I think he's from the FDA, and he was talking, I mean, I think he was just joking, but unfortunately, given the fact that the media has demonized and is now resorting to extortion and intimidation to try to have forced people to get the vaccine, it's not so funny anymore. This guy was talking about basically using blow darts to vaccinate people against their will. He was joking, but I mean, yeah, he said it to a Project Veritas employee who posted it up. The third one is an executive from Johnson & Johnson.
He was specifically referencing black people, too, because there's a lot of quote-unquote vaccine hesitancy among the black population because of things like the Tuskegee experiment, So that's why all the memes that you see now that people have drawn with, like, that guy with a, you know, hiding in the bushes with a blow dart, he's darting black people in the meme, and that's why.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I can't remember what I've got him. I follow him on Instagram and Twitter.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm serious. I actually, I might actually even have it on my phone here. I might post it up for you, but I'll have to do it when, whilst I'm not talking at this point, because I don't want to be multitasking here. The third video, executive from Johnson & Johnson, and I believe another guy from Pfizer, but the guy from Johnson & Johnson is basically admitting, it's like, yeah, there's no need for the kids to be getting this. And yeah, although he's not openly saying that it's his idea, but basically he's more or less admitting that, you know, that they're just basically they're basically trying to force a culture of compliance. You know, in a way, it's even more damning because he's that guy. Although it is humanly possible that he's just speculating on what he was talking about. You know, even if it is just speculation, ominous Orwellian overtones. Here's the thing about it, and this is the thing that really stood out for me, is when and Ryerson knows about this because he sent me a message earlier today. I got accused of being a naughty boy because I decided to share all three of these videos. It was the last two on Facebook, and they're blocked. I am not sure if I can just simply download those videos, mirror them on a place like BitChute or Rumble or whatever, and then post them up. I'm going to have to take a look at that. There's not very many things that I'd be willing to lose another Facebook account over, which reminds me here, Ryerson, I may have to add you to another group to make sure I don't lose it a second time.
Are you asking how to download videos from Facebook? Because there are utilities for that.
Oh no, upload them. Upload them. They basically take.
Yeah, I would suggest uploading things to AltTech and then posting the links over to Facebook.
Yeah, you that's know. What I, that's the plan.
Yeah, that way it's not going to get nuked. And as far as the person you know, who was half joking and half serious about the blow darting, I think the words blow dart all of the, and then the plural version of the N-word should be tattooed on his head, and then drop him off in the hood, and then whatever happens to him, he deserves.
Ooh, God, that would be...
That'd be great. Live stream that. You could probably charge a little crypto for that, make a little money, yeah. See some racist MF get the crap beaten out of him.
I am...
That'd be great.
I'm reminded of that second Die Hard movie where Bruce Willis's character, I can't remember what the name of his character was in that movie, gets dropped off in the middle of the hood. John McClane gets dropped off in the middle of the hood, butt naked. Actually, with just a gun and the placard saying, I hate niggers. And it's like right in the middle of the hood. Samuel L. Jackson comes over and saves his ass. But,
just use the word niggers.
I did use the word.
Oh, no, niggers.
Niggers. Okay. You know, and, you know, yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't watch it because I'm not. But it's like what you're saying, Kelso. I mean, there's going to be a reckoning of this. It's either going to be these people are going to die slowly or painfully because of the chaos that emerges, or there's going to be a Nuremberg Part 2.
It's going to be a combination of a lot of different things, honestly.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, I was not surprised that Project Veritas. It was the one that exposed this. I'm really
like Baskin Robbins, only 31 flavors of pain instead of ice cream.
Yep, exactly. But I'm done talking on this one. Who wants to go next? Don't all talk at once.
I was just going to say, I will maintain my. So.
Kelso, you want to go next?
Didn't I kind of just go? Like, I was, like, commenting back and forth with you and stuff, so.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just kind of. I'm actually just wanting to get to the next topic, really. I could go off, but yeah, that would take way too much time.
All right, yeah, because I need one of you. I'm going to try and post that photo up on the chat here, so I need someone to fill in the chat spot next. Will? Fake Mike. Okay, V.
Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, the whole thing, my summary real quick is Project Veritas, they do good work. We need to bring balance. Definitely most of the outlets, even the conservative outlets, are conservatives themselves are socialists anyways. But it is good to see that they're bringing some balance. I do wish that they would go after Republicans with the same drive. But this vaccine thing, they should make their number one issue because this is crazy. We're telling people you're going to have vaccine passports. When this first broke, I was telling people about Epstein and Bill Gates when this first broke. And now, at least here in the U.S., they're trying to mandate it. They're saying how happy they are that people are getting fired. There is some pushback in my state here in Rhode Island. The healthcare workers who were last year's heroes are now being fired and denied religious exemptions for not taking the vaccine. So it's very, very disgusting. And this is one of the major issues, the major issue, the whole lockdown, the coronavirus. We need to end that so we can go back to the other major issue, which is child protective services. But yeah, this is the number one issue. And I hope that Project Veritas continues to harp upon it.
Okay, before Rears takes this topic out, yeah, I've had some rather interesting stuff about people who've investigated child protection services who have ended up mysteriously dead.
Yep, Nancy Schaefer, quite a few people have. It's I mean, it's the civil rights, as Melvin Punch puts it, one of V's guests, it's the civil rights fight of our time. It's really children are being taken away from their families, and a lot of times without a warrant, without a jury of their peers, without a constitutional court, and then the people that are supposed to be protecting them, at least here in Rhode Island, and more oftentimes than not, are doing a worse job of protecting our most vulnerable kids with the tax money we give them to do that than the used to parents.
And how many of those kids disappear forever into the black hole of human trafficking? That's another question.
Oh, yeah, well, that we don't really want to get into that tonight, but it's like, I know one person who was doing a documentary on it who apparently ended up dead. There was apparently a Georgia senator who did some investigation in Georgia who ended up
dead. Yeah, that's Nancy Schaefer, her and her husband. She apparently shot herself in the back with a shotgun and then killed her husband after. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah, another one of those, huh? Okay. Rearson, take this topic out, by the way.
Oh, thank God for Project Veritas. I'm sorry that I didn't watch it, but I expect that it's been nothing but truth bombs and really nothing more that we would expect mainstream media to get its panties all bunched up in knots because they are guilty as sin. They know what's going on, but we'll leave all of that alone. One of these days when I have a lot more income coming in and I can do more than just donate it to perhaps Naroki, but I would love to donate regularly to Project Veritas because these people really do. One episode of Project Veritas is 10 years worth of collective truth telling from the mainstream media. That's all I'm going to say.
Go ahead, finish off what you're going to say.
I'm going to ramble on a little bit more, but I'll kind of leave it at that. But please, what were you going to step in with?
The ironic part is when I remember Project Veritas when they first came out, I thought they were just going to be another conservative shell group, and they've ended up being anything but.
I mean, they have a political bias, obviously. But, I mean, you know, every time I've looked at, every time I've challenged people, say, on Twitter or Facebook about Project Veritas, you know, they will talk about him. They will talk about him. I mean, he's had to settle a couple of lawsuits because, I mean, he has watched a couple of episodes. But, I mean, he's won every lawsuit that he's in. And it's sort of like every time I challenge them to come up with where exactly has he lied at any point. And none of them ever refuse to answer, but they will double down to the point of stupidity about the fact that he's a liar. Continue, Rearson.
Oh, for me, they're like, well, Project Veritas is biased towards conservatism. And then my response is, okay, well, why don't you have the liberals start up their own equivalent where they're infiltrating conservative groups and doing the candid camera thing. Why don't you guys do your own thing with that? Well, that's what I thought.
We need somebody like that in Hollywood is what we need.
Yeah. Well, apparently Keanu Reeves has a lot to say on his Telegram channel, so not that one yet. I'm there, so
You're breaking up, by the way.
Ah, crap. All right. Okay, well, unfortunately, do I have anything else to say at this point? No, it's just filler, but... Project Veritas being conservative, yes, absolutely. But at this point, I would love to see a liberal...
A liberal equivalent. And what were you trying to say about Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves apparently has a channel on Telegram, and he's going to be locking it soon. He says he's got about a week left before he's going to lock it. So if you're not on his channel already, look into it. That's all that I'm going to say.
There are multiple celebrities that are... I don't know whether they actually are who they say they are or not, but there's multiple celebrities that are putting up Telegram accounts that are saying things on Telegram they probably wouldn't be able to get away and say on the media or on Facebook or on Twitter.
No, exactly. Mel Gibson his channel seems to be fully legit. There's been a few videos that he's posted on there that I believe is actually him and his channel he's in control of. He has endorsed John Voight, Denzel Washington, Keanu Reeves. Hulk Hogan has one on there as well, too. But we're getting off topic with all of that. Again, if the liberals or the left wing can provide an unbiased... Well, maybe not so much an unbiased... Sorry, my mistake, wrong choice of words. If the left can produce a news outlet like Project Veritas, where they're going after the truth and they're exposing
fact,
things. That...
Fact focused rather than unbiased. Fact focused.
That is the point right there, because people, the balance thing. Yeah, you want to show people how to look at both sides, but you got to be able to show them how to pluck the facts out when you do. To be able to navigate and be able to, you know, all the information and discern the facts. You know, you guys, Rearson, you like Project Veritas, you should watch my documentaries. I really like Project Veritas. I was actually going to have an interview with them, an episode with them, before everything got all wacky. So I'm kind of upset I missed my chance for my interview with these guys.
I think my apologies, V, for stepping in here. Huh? But honestly,
the other day or week or whenever it was, I actually ran into your interview with Dell Bigtree pre-pandemic.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that I ran across that the other day. I thought that was
okay. All right, Rearson, you're up.
Okay, so unfortunately, at the end of the day, until Project Veritas is really the only, seems to be the most honest yet biased fact-digging journalistic organization that what's left of the free world actually has. I don't know what's in Britain. I don't really know what's in Canada. I don't know what's in other parts of the world, Australia, whatever else the case may be.
Sky News seems – I'm sorry. I don't mean to jump in, but I'll let you jump straight back in. Sky News apparently seems to have more free reign down in Australia than Fox does in the U.S. But continue.
Okay, fair enough.
To an extent, yes. To an extent, no.
They do seem to be dropping truth bombs once in a while to try to wake people up, but that's another story. Is it enough? Well, I mean, maybe that's been enough to rile up the Aussies right now, where the natives down there are restless. So, but again, I mean, I suppose in Canada we have Rebel News. I mean, they are very conservative in their bias and very pro-Israeli. Not my thing, but that's really the only thing that we've got where we have anything resembling journalistic integrity, although it does seem a little more tabloid, but neither there. But again, if you can bring me evidence of a left-leaning organization that will work on the findings and try to be as factual about it, I'll be able to listen, but that's most that I'm going to say. So, sadly, everything that we're looking at and dealing with, Project Veritas right now, I think, is right now the most mainstream. I have to watch my words here a little more carefully for EV, but as it is, right now, Project Veritas has the limelight or the spotlight, so that's the best that we have to be able to watch things with. So, I will leave it at that for now, and I've got really nothing more to say.
Just on a side mention, when it comes to whistleblowing and things like that, just recently, my friend Max Egan, however many of you have heard of him or not, just recently helped a UK funeral director do some whistleblowing. I actually kind of made my own little version of it as a PSEC episode, which merges the initial interview with an update that Max gave after, and apparently the update is that the funeral director has gotten into some trouble as a result of interviewing, you know, with Max and that video going viral on social media. But no big shock, this is the COVID Reich after all. Tell the truth and you shall be punished. But
I saw that video. Oh wow, if they try doing that, society won't survive.
Is this basically where the funeral directors have admitted that there's really no
I'll just give you the link, just give me a sec, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. Yeah, they were talking about potentially designing the new COVID vaccine to specifically target kids, and if that happens, society won't survive. Like, God, it won't.
Surprise. Okay, let's move on to Germany then, shall we?
All right.
Otherwise, this will be the topic that never ends. Anyway, let's go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Germany is attempting to go after the social media site Gab again, right? The U.S. couldn't do it because of that nasty, pesky Second Amendment. Andrew Torba came up with a statement. Now, keep in mind, Andrew Torba has a few issues of his own, but you know, I still use Gab quite frequently. There is a definitely a far right presence on there, so yeah, I've had to block a few people. I've had specifically to block like the really hardcore Jew behind every blade of grass types on there, because they can get vehement and they can get as argumentative and as abusive as anybody I've seen on the left.
Oh, on Mines, actually, I've been having fun with one of those. It's been real interesting. He's one of those types that if you disagree with him on anything, apparently you're a kike and whatever. So yeah. Every time he says, I respond to him with, okay, Rabbi, and I ask him how much he gets paid to be a Mossad agent. So I like playing with him like that.
But anyway, yeah. So Germany. Well, first of all, they got no legal recourse to go after him anyway. Andrew Torba has made it quite clear, although he did get, and we actually covered this, Andrew Torba went off on this big, huge anti-porn crusade where he was like saying, well, I think if people need to access to porn, they need to register and that sort of thing, which kind of violates the whole free speech thing. And once he got called out on it, he backed off rather reluctantly. So, yeah, he's not total free speech, but he came out with a statement which I'm going to have to go and find again, where he was basically left with three options, which is do nothing, and basically he would not ever be able to leave the United States ever again, comply and remove the content, or three, block all the ISPs in Germany that were carrying his content. And he was leaning towards the third one. Here's the thing. Apparently these people haven't heard of, what is the, god damn it, man, I had the name and then it just disappeared.
Tor, I think you are looking for Tor.
Or I'm also looking for the place
where
that changes.
You can override geo blocks with it quite easily.
Yeah.
And Brave has it built in. You just select the option, open up a new private tab using Tor, and ta-da, whatever site was blocked now magically no longer is.
Or you can get something that changes your ISP, so it really doesn't stop. It
VPN,
slows it.
Might be the other term, yeah.
Yeah.
The Opera web browser has a built-in VPN. Tor can be used as a VPN on Brave. So, yeah, if people want to pay for a VPN, they could do that too. But there's free ones readily available.
Oh, I did not know about the Opera, because we are actually going to be covering DuckDuckGo for 2.13. Yeah, we're going to be covering DuckDuckGo for 2.13. And
Opera's had a free VPN for a while. Granted, I don't know much about it. I just know that it exists. It's there. I have Opera installed. I don't use it very much, but it's there. It's a thing, you know. I use Brave primarily myself. That's just my preference.
Yeah. Torba has, it's like, sort of like, and it says, oh, and if you're, I think what he also did is send a message in German, you just get a VPN or a Tor browser or go. It's, you know, it slows things down. It doesn't stop them. Here's the thing. Not surprised that this came out of Europe, more specifically, because we're actually going to be covering the German election too on 2/13. If it was going to come out of anywhere, it was going to come out of the capital of the European Union. Obviously, Gab. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to swing around, and that's what Trudeau was fixing to do up here. They're going to have to start swinging around. They're going to have to start dealing with alt tech, because it's like, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, and they will, of course, never publicly admit it, but it's like, you know, you're seeing all of the alt tech media influence coming out. It is even beginning to leak into the mainstream.
I've been seeing normies on Facebook sharing Facebook and Odyssey and Rumble links, for Christ's sakes. But here's the thing alt tech needs to be conscious of, and hopefully they are. If they're not, they'll momentarily learn this the hard way. Once the ruling class becomes desperate enough, they're going to be shutting down domain names. Anything that is dependent upon a domain name is going to be bye-bye, which is why Web 3.0, fully decentralized technology, is going to be very important. Obviously, you got things like, for example, Library or you know, Bastion/PocketNet, whatever. You got things that have apps that are, you know, fully decentralized. They do not rely on a domain name at all. And, you know, those things are going to be just fine. There might be some minor inconveniences. There might be some things they have to recode for a second to make a little more efficient. But overall, they're going to be just fine. Now, things like Gab, bit shit.
Gab has their own servers, though. Gab has their own servers.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Domain name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Doesn't matter if you have your own servers, because if the powers that be want to take away your domain name, well, how's anybody going to get to you? Are they going to memorize that the IP address of your servers is 76.43.6.12 or whatever? No.
Okay. Thank you, because that is the question I was going to ask you. Is the domain name being blocked is one thing, but the IP address?
Yeah, exactly, which is why fully decentralized tech is important, because fully decentralized tech, you know, the ones that even use URLs, is content locations, not geographic locations. You go to a domain name on Web 2.0, it's pointing to an IP address that resides at a specific computer or data center or in a specific physical building with a specific geographic location, where with fully decentralized technology, the content itself has a location on the network, but everything, to simplify the explanation, works more like BitTorrent, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So you've got all these different peers that are hosting the file and contributing their little bits of the file for, you know, people that are wanting to download it. Well, it's the same idea. Things like LBRY and Pocketnet and things like that, they should be basically fine once the powers that be decide, you know what, all the FQDNs, that means fully qualified domain name for the uninitiated, but all the FQDNs that we don't like, screw you, you're gone, you're down. People that are fully decentralized, it's not really going to be that much of a burden. But places like Gab, who are, they do depend on the domain name. You do not, you know, besides maybe the cell phone app, you do not get to Gab any other way except by going to gab.com. And if the cell phone app, I don't know if the cell phone app contacts Gab servers directly or if it actually points to gab.com, but if it points to gab.com, then the app's going to be down too, because the domain name will be down. So, you know, BitChute, all these other places, they're going to be having these problems if they haven't adapted by the time the ruling class pulls the plug. Now, I know BitChute is doing its best to work towards fully decentralized tech. That's why, you know, if you go on the website, you notice the little green icon that says, 81%, and you go in there and there's more infrastructure that they're wanting to add. And then, of course, for anybody who pays anything to their subscribe star and can see those announcements on there, you know, they have fully stated that they are working as best they can on moving towards decentralized technology. I know Ray Vahey personally told me a long time ago that he wants to use the Gun API, which is very versatile. I'd never even heard of it prior to his mentioning of it, and then I went and looked at it, and yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, you toss Gun, libp2p, and a few other things together, and you can do something pretty kick-ass. But anyway, that's a technical rant I won't go on. But that's going to be the main thing that they got to keep in mind, because the ruling class are only going to tolerate alt tech for so long until they decide to be like, you know what, we're just going to pull all their FQDNs and they can go to hell. Because they're already having a tantrum as it is. They're already getting scared at the amount of people rising up. They're already getting scared at alt tech becoming increasingly more popular as average normies get sick of mainstream social media censorship. And so, yeah, I mean, the ruling class is in a pickle.
Yeah, and of course, with what YouTube just came out with this week, the first thing that crossed my mind is, oh, yeah, well, BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, Brighteon, they're just going to get bigger. You know, so it's like, you know, and it's like what Tim Pool said on the Joe Rogan, who, by the way, Joe Rogan is one of the topics tonight. And he looked at Jack Dorsey and said, you know, well, if you shut down their account, you're not really shutting them up. And that's the issue, right? They're losing their ability to shut people up, and they're losing it rapidly, because every time they crack down on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, alt tech just becomes bigger. You know, so it's, you know, it's a catch 22, and it's not one they're winning. If, but I'm guessing by the time they get desperate enough to shut down the IPs or the domain names, by the time they get down to the point where they're shutting down the domain names, it'll probably be way too late anyway.
Yeah, here's the other irony too. Every time, you know, a semi-popular creator is taken down off of YouTube as far as censorship, you know, obviously YouTube's looking at it like, okay, we don't want this person talking, so we're going to take them down. But then guess what happens? All these other creators start making, or not even necessarily creators in some cases, just people that are looking at that like WTF, you know, so they start accounts for mirror backups, and they start, you know, uploading the content of that person. Again, going back to my friend Max Egan, he's one of those people that's, you know, had that happen to him. And, you know, so what happens? Everybody else on YouTube starts uploading stuff. So if you do a search for Max Egan on YouTube, you're still going to find all these interviews and shows and this, that, and the other from Max Egan. Is it as much as the fullness of all of Max's content? No, it's not. You got to go on Alt Tech for that now. But there's still a lot there. So the idea that YouTube was thinking, oh, we're going to shut him up by removing his account, it's like, yeah, no, you're not. And no, you didn't.
Exactly. V and real Mike, real fake Mike Meal News. Yeah, you guys have had a chance.
I got this one for you, V. What we need to do is, first of all, what V has done, which is create an entirely new platform. A lot of these other ones, Rumble, Gab, they've just become right wing echo chambers. They never were anything besides right wing echo chambers. And
there's actually is more platforms in existence right now than most people even know. I've been keeping a list for anyone who's interested.
Post that list up, please.
There's a
post
ton. Yeah, there's a ton.
Continue, Will. Yeah, post that list up. I would really appreciate it.
So the two answers is, one, in the interim, what V has helped create, which is TOBtalk.com. It's has its own servers. I know that obviously doesn't address what the gentleman said, but I'll get to that. But it's free speech. Nobody's getting banned. It's not a right-wing echo chamber as of yet. We're still building people over there. So TOBtalk.com is a great start for that, because that's one of the main problems, is it'll just become a right-wing echo chamber, and that doesn't really help anything if you just... that's a whole other side note.
Odyssey isn't an echo chamber either. They're very diversified, which is why the mainstream has also had a very hard time trying to go after Odyssey. So the worst thing they could do is try to sick the SEC on Odyssey, claiming that LBC is somehow a security when it's not.
are there like a lot of liberal content creators on Odyssey?
It's a mix. It's a mix of political, non-political, and you know, all the different sides. Like just for example, when I was browsing through Odyssey today in the related content, there was a video by somebody that was titled something like "Mr. Obvious is obviously degenerate" or something similarly worded. So Mr. Obvious being hardcore conservative, one would imagine that the person who has that opinion is most likely hardcore left. So yeah, it's very diverse. It's as diverse as YouTube ever was, which is why you haven't heard a lot of pissing and moaning in the mainstream about Odyssey, like you've heard about, you know, BitChute, Gab, Rumble, etc., because they started out diverse to begin with. They were able to do that, and they've remained diverse. Political, non-political, all different sides of the political spectrum. It's basically like how YouTube used to be before Google took it over. So that's what Odyssey is, and the Odyssey is kind of in the lead when it comes to all the alt tech stuff right now, and that's why, because they do truly have diversity, so no side can point a finger and go, oh, but this, oh, but that. Because, you know, libraries like, oh, but what? Here, look, yeah, you got nothing. Go away.
Well, I'll have to go back and check, because I do go to library a number of times, because Memory Holds channels are there, replicated. A couple of Titus Cross channels are there. So go back and use those.
There's also a lot of spiritual stuff on there, too. New Age and Christian as well. I'm sure there's probably other stuff beyond that, but those are the two primary dominant ones I've seen as far as religion and spirituality, Christian and New Age. So there's a lot of, you know, like I said, a variety of different things.
Okay, Wilk, yeah, get it out of your system.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll just have to look up on that, because a lot of times when I go, I will see a lot of, more right-wing stuff. But, yeah, that's good. And I think the last point is we need to take the tech that we already have, like TLB Talk, and connect it to a truly distinct blockchain and build that blockchain. That's the, I know there's already post-blockchain technology, but we at least need to get this on the blockchain, which would be, and if we have enough people nodes on the blockchain, they would not be able to ban it unless they shut up all the electricity or select electricity.
What we actually need, and V already knows this, is something I've at least been, you know, slowly prototyping in a document file. I'm not a programmer, I just know how programs work. What we need is the world's first truly Web 3.0 browser. My beep is everybody's trying to make the next platform, the next protocol, the next blockchain, the next this, the next that. All you're doing is taking the internet and splicing it up into a whole bunch of different internets. No, you want to bring everything together. You want a browser that can use all the different platforms.
Well, the thing is, you need to be able to have it. You want to splice the internet up for one reason, which is, the blockchain itself is independently existing.
Yes, separate. I understand. But what I'm saying is, for example, let's take a regular web browser that you got right now, right? Well, you know.
Guys, one person at a time, please. I want to save him from having to repeat himself. So basically, you and I have talked about this privately, and yes, we actually, that's something that's been in the works physically here in the past year and a half, as we brought TLB Talk up, TLBTalk.com up, we are beta testing a version of like Skype that we have. We are beta testing a video hosting site like YouTube. Right now, we have a private server farm, and you know, that's something that these other social networks don't have. They got to answer to Amazon or Google, you know. So this is something that, yeah, just like you said, you want to have something that brings everything together. When you open up whatever the final name of our product is going to be, when you open it up, it's going to be a one-stop shop. You're going to have everything in there.
And so what you can do is, if you put this on the blockchain, let me just get this out and I'll let you continue. If you put these things on individual blockchains, or even connect the projects that V's talking about on the same blockchain, and then there's other independent blockchains. Well, there's things like Atom Chain and other works and other projects that are built to connect these blockchains. So that's the real thing we need to do, is we need to build the new Internet 2.0. They're building their version of the Internet
3.0, not 2. 3.0. We've already got 2.0. 3.0.
That's true. I mean, you could say 4 or 5.0.
Application-based is what I'm trying to say. You know, there needs to be applications that will do the PocketNet protocol, that will do the library protocol, that will do the IPFS protocol, that will do this blockchain, that blockchain, this protocol, that other thing.
They are the apps.
All in one application, not all on one server farm, not all on one application.
What do you mean by application?
Program, software, it's on the end user's computer. Has nothing to do with anywhere else. Like when I install a Brave browser on my computer, which is what I was trying to explain and was kind of halfway prevented from explaining, when you know, when you got, I got like Brave browser, right? Well, Brave browser supports what it supports. It's, you know, it supports the HTTP protocol. It supports the FTP protocol. It supports all the protocols that it supports. Well, we need a Web 3.0 browser application, piece of software that the user installs that supports LBRY protocol, that supports the pocket pocket.
That's a great point, because that's what Brave is. That's what Brave is actually in the process of doing itself.
They've got Tor integrated fairly well, which is good, and they've got a little bit of IPFS integration. I'm not thoroughly impressed with it, but something's better than nothing. So yeah, you know, they are taking little steps, but I'm talking about something bigger and bolder. Now
I agree there.
Okay, guys, we're gonna have to start.
Then cool, but you know.
All right, guys, we're going to have to start going to hand-raising here. We can't have people getting interrupted during this. So, yeah. Will, continue. Dave.
No, I was done. Okay. And I actually think it's good. It's funny because you Canadians will swear your heads off, but once we go back and forth, it's like the I think that's fine. All right.
So you're good with it. All right. I just needed to make sure.
Oh yeah. No, I'm cool, man. Yeah, I like it. It's lively back and forth.
Nobody was having any problems. We're all basically on the same page. The only little bumps were the terminology. So I had to clarify terminology. Like when he asked, "What do you mean by application?" I had to clarify what I mean by application. So you know, I think that. If you basically put the point of access on the user end, and the application that the user has installed is able to connect to all these different sites, servers, protocols, this, that, and the other, you know, that's where the full decentralization comes in, that they can't stop. If the point of access is on the server end, a Google.com or a YouTube.com or a whatever.com, they can shut you down. So right now the access is not on the user end. I'm saying you bring it to the user end by focusing on making everything application based. The user gets to be a node on the network. They can contribute memory and drive space, this, that, and the other towards, you know, storage and whatever on these different protocols. Power to the people. Let the users be the servers, you know. Let it, and hey, if there's any small to medium sized companies that are involved too that have bandwidth up the wazoo, well, great. It's awesome to have them on the networks that they're participating on. Cool. Not going to complain. But I think we need an application that, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, yet another protocol, yet another you know, platform, yet another. Why don't we take what we have and bring them together in one unified application that's able to access and utilize them all? People have no clue how powerful that can be. I even have trouble explaining that to some developers because that cognitively they're kind of, they've been stuck in the gulag. They've been stuck in the Reich with everybody else.
Okay. All right. Yeah. One thing I am definitely interested in, if you have a list of all of those social media sites, I would definitely love to see that.
It's in my bookmarks file.
It is? Okay, yeah, post it up. I'll post it up on the chat here. I'd really love to see that. V and Rearson, you guys have been sitting in back quietly here, so if you have anything to add before we move on to topic number four, now's your chance.
Well, I know Rearson likes to go last, so I'll go ahead. Yeah, you know, I mean, we can talk all day long about you know, the way the internet should be, but at this point, and I mean, you're talking about going from slaves boxed up, separated, and with no voice to being, you know, winged individuals flying high. First, we gotta get the chains off. First, we gotta be able to step outside of our confinements. First, we got to be able to connect with each other. So, I mean, these ideas that are spoken about here are absolutely wonderful. And I've been wanting this to be explained to me again. I've messaged you there, Dave, about doing that. I don't know if you saw that message like last week, but I definitely want to get you in a conference call with my other partners, because that is next level stuff, and it's eventually going to have to get there, to your point. But as of right now, yes, we do have one thing that I can say about my social network above anybody else's is that it is free speech. So long as you're not talking about, you know, pedophilia, sex trafficking, you know, violence against people, and you know, trafficking guns and drugs, you're cool. You know, those are the obvious. You can't do that anywhere. So, I mean, you've got your political stance. You're going to be able to post it no matter what. The network is completely user monitoring. I mean, you don't like somebody's opinion, you don't have to look at them. You can block them. We have no need to kick people off the platform. If your opinion is unpopular, or you know, it's raw and can't be dealt with by most of society, well, guess what? You're going to be a pariah. You make out of yourself what you make out of yourself. And so we want to get off the limitations. We want to take away the limitations. You know, like Facebook, 5,000 friends, or I don't know what these other social networks, you have limitations. You're not going to be limited on tlvtalk.com. There's none of that. So, and we're growing. We just, and it's not about these other, you know, we talk about these other social networks where they're going through political this, political that, but we're not trying to be a social network that is just me or someone else, you know. It's going to be the people's social network. You donate $5, you get in there, make sure this thing keeps running, and it's ours. It's the activist. We don't need CNN running things. We don't need Facebook running things. We don't need whatever political party is running things. It's the people that are running things. And that is the big step that we have to take right now. And that's what we are doing. Nobody's going to tell you can't talk to this person or that person, or you posted your links too many times. You can post your link to everybody in the network. If it's 200,000 people or a million, you got the time and the day to sit there to do that? Well, you know what? You can do that. So it's all about taking off the limitations. And yes, there are these hurdles that you got to go through, but I believe we cleared most of them. And having our own server farm, having our own funding, as we the people funded, these sort of things take away the limitations. And I mean, even got to the point where they take our web address, you know, copying an IP address to a notepad, copy and paste to get to where you need to go. I don't see the problem if it really got to that point. But hey, we have administrators, we have lawyers. We have security team. There's nobody taking us down. So I would like for people just go onto the site and support it. I mean, people want to go onto Odyssey and whatever else. You have no say in what they do. If Odyssey wants to sell themselves to Google the next day, they'll do it. That's their prerogative, and you got no say in it.
Oh, yeah. You can see them at some point trying to make an attempt to buy these companies out at some point. That's something else Google. That's probably going to come down
with Odyssey. Wait a minute. With Odyssey, there's one tiny, tiny little bitty eensy problem with that statement. This is where people don't know the difference between the front end and the back end.
No, I understand it. But if you have the back end gone, what are you going to do?
But what I'm trying to say is the LBRY data network, the immutable blockchain where everything is actually stored, is separate from the front end called Odyssey or called the library app. If somebody wanted to, right now, let's say hypothetically you wanted to make it so that TLB Talk also stored to the library data network and blockchain. You guys could do that because it's completely open. It's immutable. Nobody controls it. You could do that. And you could not only store your stuff, you could, you know, allow or not the content that's already on Odyssey to also appear on yours or not. And Odyssey could equally look at that and decide whether or not they want the stuff coming from TLB Talk to be allowed or not to be displayed in their front end. Correct. And that's the thing. The front end, yes, whoever, you know, controls the front end, but the back end, the blockchain, the foundation is not owned or controlled by anybody. And I could talk on and on about instances where I've even seen where there's some companies that have tried to, like, go in and, you know, for copyright stuff to, like, DMCA something, right? But because it existed, it still exists on the immutable blockchain, yeah, like, the one entry got taken down, but it still existed on the data network, so it got pulled back up again. And the cool thing is, let's say you repost someone else's content on Odyssey, you're not reposting a link to something on their channel, you're reposting the content ID, which always remains the same and immutable. So if, you know, a DMCA comes down and says, oh, this channel over here can't have it, but oh wait, that content ID is there, and another channel brings it back up, well, guess what? Even though you reposted it from one channel, it'll still show as being reposted from that other channel, which then reclaimed it again. So you can't really truly get rid of anything, even on Odyssey and Library. It's been tried, but because that data is there to stay, and each upload has its own claim ID, its own hash that says this is immutably the identifier of this piece of data, it's easy enough to just come back through and pop it back up again, and anybody who had reposted it when one channel claimed it, that repost pops back up. Now it's just on another channel. So they tried taking it down, but they can't.
Dave,
so
that's fine. That's okay, fine. All right, yeah. Dave, that's fine. But my point is, that can change at some point in time. Okay, again, you don't own Odyssey. That can change. That can change. They want to strip that away, they can strip that away.
Front ends okay. Can change, but the back end is not owned by anybody. It's not directly controlled by anybody. That's the point.
Okay, guys, we have to keep the show moving here.
Let me finish. Again, somebody owns it. It can change. My point is, again, TLB Talk is run by the people. You have your own material. You can put it up. Nobody's going to tell you to take anything down. Now, when it comes to all that stuff, yeah, yes. we're basically the same. We're basically the same. You got that front, the front end, back end, all that stuff. Yeah, we're basically the same, just like us. But we're not owned. Well, TLB Talk is going to be owned by the people. It's owned by the people. You donate money to whatever. We're going to have cryptocurrency. That's actually coming up as well. You know, this is going to be something that is perpetually, again, not owned by me, not owned by my business partner to start it. It's going to be owned by people. And we need a little bit of security in that. You know, sort of like the government. It's supposed to have been we the people. Got taken over by corporations and corrupt interest. We need something that is the people. Nobody's claiming the people.
When my wife's father has introduced.
So, anyways, yeah, that's my stick on it.
Okay,
we gotta get forward. We gotta take the steps before we get to that final end where we have beautiful internet, like Dave's talking about. Help us make those steps.
Okay,
it's in our hands, not the corporations. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, we've been going on 35 minutes on this topic, and Ryerson's been quietly sitting back there listening to all of this. Ryerson, take this topic
out. Enemies, see them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.